Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is true and real joy in old age. It is the joy of knowing your Creator. He is the joy of both young and old. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the Lord shows us that if we do not have Christ as our joy, our old age will be nothing but sorrow. Chapter 12 of the book of Ecclesiastes begins with the exhortation, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them,' while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. Remember God when you are young. Remember God before your life becomes difficult." How does life become difficult? When you become old, your body does not work as well as it used to work. You have aches and pains in your body, in your joints, in your muscles. You cannot sleep as well at night. You cannot run and jump like you used to. You do not have the strength that you used to have. You do not enjoy food and sleep and recreation as much as you did when you were young. You are not able to work as long and as hard and as much as you did before. You may not even be able to cook your own food. You may not be able to feed yourself. You may have to depend on the help and the care that others around you can give. The simple tasks of life can become difficult and time-consuming. In verses 2 through 6 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the Lord, through Solomon, describes the difficulties that we have when we grow old. When we are young, the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened. The clouds go away after the rain, so that the sun shines again brightly on the freshly watered earth. It is as though all is bright, all is clean, all is pure. But the difficult days of old age are different. The sun does not shine all the time with that brightness that it used to. The light is not as bright as it once was. The body does not work as well as it used to work, and we suffer more weakness. Slowly, our body deteriorates. No sooner do we get over one ailment, one difficulty, than we have another problem. Our hip is sore. And when finally our hip gets better, we fall and we break our arm. And then we come down with some other difficulty. Solomon describes this as when the clouds drop their rain. And as soon as the rain clouds are passed, more clouds come. One cloud follows the other. One evil follows another. One problem comes after another. The end of one trouble is just the beginning of another. That is what old age is often like. One of our elderly members who died 1 year ago this month used to say, "In old age, a person has too many liabilities and not enough assets." That is what the Lord describes here in our text. Gradually, the human body weakens. Our senses, sight, smell, taste, feeling, hearing, decay and degenerate. We gradually lose our physical energy. The Roman Cicero called old age a load that lies heavier than Mount Etna. There is no joy in old age without God. earthly comforts and earthly joys wither like plants in the desert. There's nothing left that can take their place except God. When we grow old, we are getting ready to leave this world. And if we do not have God, if we do not have Christ, we have no hope. We have no joy. And we lose the hope and the joy that we had here in this life. And we go to another world. But if we do not have God as our hope and our joy, that other world will not give us any comfort either. It will be a time of deep and great darkness with no light at all. When we grow old, we are so feeble. We have so little strength to give to the Lord. And that is why God, our Creator, commands us to give Him the prime of our strength, the prime of our energy, the prime of our life. You should give God your best, not your last, not your worst. What resources do we have to meet this last stage of life on this earth? There's no sun that can drive away the clouds and the sorrows of old age except Jesus Christ, whom the Bible calls the Son of Righteousness. Only He can dispel the gloom. Only He can drive away the sadness that settles in when we slowly lose our strength and we more and more lose the ability to enjoy this life. Every time there is a break in the difficulties of life, let us actively and seriously pursue and prepare for that last great storm when we leave this life for the life that is to come. Let us fill our hearts with remembering our Creator, for only He will be our helper when everything else around us is sinking. Only He is the greatest good, the chief good. The presence of God, our Creator, the chief good, the greatest good, the everlasting joy will sweep away every evil and every trouble that threatens us here in this life. The Lord says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31, "The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness." Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 2 is a prelude to the elegant, figurative picture of old age described for us in verses 3 through 6. This description is fascinating. Look at it with me and see if you do not agree. Verse 2 gives us a general description, but verses 3 through 6 give a more particular description of the succession of pains and discomforts that often accompany old age. What a colorful description we have here in these verses. How great our weakness often is before we depart from this life. Some of you have seen that firsthand, even recently, as you have visited or even cared for your father or your mother or perhaps your grandfather or your grandmother. There are some people who lose so many of their faculties as they grow old that they can hardly think anymore. They can hardly communicate with you. They may not even be coherent. They may not be conscious anymore. Yet if we have not believed and remembered our Creator from the days of our youth, from the days of our prime energy and strength, we are left to consider the great concerns of eternity in such a debilitated and weak and unable condition. The knowledge of God and the assurance of eternal life that ought to occupy the most vigorous energy of our lives is delayed to the very last remains of strength that we can muster. What a tragedy that is. What a loss. In verses 3 through 6, the Lord uses the figure of a house to represent an old person. Our bodies are a house of clay, the Bible says. The Apostle Paul calls our bodies the earthly house of this tabernacle, the earthly house of this tent. Gradually that house dissolves. Every part of it decays and hastens to ruin. If you look around the countryside, in most any part of our country, you will find old buildings that are falling apart. One day, those buildings lean so far that they collapse. Verse 3 says, "In the day when the keepers of the house tremble." The keepers of the house represent the hands and the arms that hang down at one side, weak and unable to do much, and even tremble from old age. They are not sure and steady anymore. It is like the front end of an old car. It wobbles all over. The parts of the front end suspension and the steering are badly worn. The steering is not tight. It is not accurate anymore. You have to turn the steering wheel a quarter of a turn either way before the wheels begin to turn. Psalm 71, verse 9 teaches us to pray to the Lord, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." The prophet Zechariah describes old men and women as sitting in the streets of the city, each one with his staff in his hand because of many days, because he's old. These men and these women are old and they need a staff or a stick to lean on for help and for strength in order to stand and to walk. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 3 also says, "And the strong men bow down." This is a picture of the legs and the thighs of a person. When we are young, our legs are so strong. They are so robust. They can do so many things. But when we are old, they begin to bend under a burden that we used to be able to carry with ease, with vigor. Now we wobble and can hardly carry that burden. And Solomon continues in verse 3, "The grinders cease because they are few." The grinders are your teeth. You use your teeth to grind up or chew up your food. Your teeth cut the food and break it into small pieces so that you can digest it and it will nourish all the parts of your body. But when most of your teeth have fallen out because they have rotted, the work of chewing with the few teeth that are left in your mouth is a daily chore. It can be drudgery. It can be painful. It can be time consuming. Your strength is limited and the grinders are few. It is hard to chew all of the things that you used to eat so easily, that you used to rejoice in and delight in as you tasted and swallowed those wonderful things. You did not even think about it twice. But now you stay away from all those things that are hard to chew. It's too much work and it takes too long. It is an even worse trial not to be able to see well. Verse 3 ends, "And those that look through the windows grow dim." That describes our eyes. It is a common affliction for old people not to be able to see clearly anymore. Cataracts can cloud the lens of the eye so that everything is blurry and dim. And there are various and sundry other maladies that make the eyes not work well and not see clearly anymore. Some old people cannot see fine details clearly. Some have trouble reading or cannot read at all. Some have trouble changing focus so that they can see things at any distance clearly. It is as though you are looking through a mist or through a shadow. The ability to read and the pleasure that it brings fades more and more. You can sit and listen to someone read to you, except that you might be hard of hearing. What used to be so easy, what used to be so effortless, becomes difficult. It becomes a chore. The doors are shut in the streets. The door of speech, the door of hearing is shut up. You cannot communicate easily like you once were able to. It is hard to interact with someone. It is hard to carry on a conversation when you have trouble both hearing and speaking. And if you work hard to hear and to speak, you may be able to communicate some, but that is a poor substitute for the easy flowing pleasures of younger and brighter days when it was so easy to hear and it was so easy to speak and to say whatever you wanted to say. At times it was too easy. The sound of the grinding is low. That means that without all of your teeth, you cannot speak clearly. Your sounds are more garbled. And that makes socializing with other people so much more difficult. Being around other people and conversing with them is so much more difficult, and it's not nearly as charming as it once was. You'd rather stay home and do something else than go out in public, where you are around other people. In old age, a person rises up at the sound of a bird. A bird chirps at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you're wide awake, and you cannot go back to sleep. Sleep is no longer tired nature's sweet restorer, as one man put it. It is a trial to lie awake at night or be so easily awakened and not able to get back to sleep. A young man might wake up with the chirp of a bird at 4 o'clock in the morning to go forth to his work until evening. But the old man is not waking up to go to his work. He's waking up in feeble weariness. All the daughters of music are brought low. That means that your lungs and your voice and your ear, all of which you use to make music or to enjoy music, lose their abilities. Your voice does not work as well. You cannot sing as well. Does not sound as good as it used to when you were young. Your lungs do not produce the air that you need to make music and to sing music. Your ear cannot distinguish between those fine tones which are so necessary and helpful in making music and in singing. The Lord commands us to remember Christ and to commune with Him from the time that we are young. Then Jesus Christ will be with us in our old age as our abilities fail, as our appetites fail, as our body stops working in the ways that it used to work, when we cannot sleep, Christ will give us rest. Christ will fill our thoughts and comfort our hearts as we lie awake at night. When all other delights are worn out, we can feast upon the Lord who never leaves us and never forsakes us. A good conscience that is free from evil and sin is a continual feast, a joyous blessing. Knowing the Lord and having righteousness and holiness gives us songs to sing in the night. We are happier and more content than any earthly pleasure could ever make us. Verse 5 says, also they are afraid of height. To be afraid of what is high refers to the unsteadiness and the feebleness of our feet and our joints in old age. Just going up a flight of stairs can be dangerous and difficult for an old person. When we are young, we bound up every incline, every hill, every mountain, every stair, with the energy and elasticity of youth. In old age, it becomes a trouble We lose our ambition to climb and to go up. We fear that we will stumble as we walk somewhere. That is what verse 5 means by terrors in the way. We fear that we will fall. We fear that we will break our leg or our arm. We fear that we will lose our footing. We fear that we will hurt ourselves. An old person is like an almond tree that is covered with snow-white blossoms. One of the Puritans put it this way: the almond tree is here a resemblance of an hoary head. That means a person with a head of white hair or gray hair. Yet with this difference: one, the almond tree flourishes in the spring, the hoary head in the winter of our age. Two, the tree flourishes before fruit, but the head flourishes after it. And yet it may indeed be said that the hoary head is the flourishing of the old man in the spring of another immortality, another life of immortality. The feebleness of old age is so extreme that, proverbially speaking, the grasshopper, even in its lightest hop, is a burden. And desire fails. Our desire even for the pleasures of this world fades. It's not there anymore. We do not enjoy the fairs and the entertainment and the games and the parties that we used to enjoy so much. You may remember that at the beginning of this book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 2, Solomon speaks about enjoying mirth and pleasure and laughter. He tried enjoying wine and nice houses and beautiful vineyards and gardens and wonderful orchards. And he planted all kinds of fruit trees. He lived a good life. He had servants to care for everything. He had great wealth. He even had singers. He had people to play beautiful music on instruments for him to enjoy. Here in chapter 12, verse 5, Solomon is saying that in old age all those pleasures fade. The world passes away and all of the desires thereof, the Apostle John writes. All of those things fade away with the glowing warmth, the vigor of maturity. How quickly old age sweeps away the comfort in those pleasures. A dream. A dream, such a dream as will bring to the deluded sleeper the voice of cutting eternal consciousness. Son, remember that in your days on earth you enjoyed all of those pleasures, and now you are in torment. Luke 16, verse 25. And what does this moving picture prove? Shows that man is close to the end of his journey. The earthly house of this tent is falling to pieces. And the person who occupies this earthly house is on the brink of his eternal home. And then we read that the mourners go about the streets. That means he's died. It's time for the funeral. And all of the family and the friends and the acquaintances and the relatives of the person who has died bring the body down the streets to the cemetery to place it in the grave. And since the grave is our longest home, it ought to be our desire to rest in hope, to rest in peace, because we remember Jesus Christ, our Creator, from the days of our youth. Solomon has described for us in these verses the gradual wasting away of our bodies until we come to that final struggle when our soul departs this body and our body lies lifeless and is put into the ground. He uses in verse 6 a figure drawn from drawing water at a well. There's a silver cord. There's a golden bowl. Because life is so precious. There's a pitcher at the fountain, a pitcher to draw water out of the well. And there's a wheel to turn, to wind up that cord, that silver cord, and draw the pitcher of water up. And when the pitcher is broken, when the cord is loose, when the golden bowl is broken, when the wheel is broken so that it will not turn anymore, we can no longer draw water out of the well. We die. There is no hope to draw life anymore from that well. At the moment of death, then the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the Spirit returns to God who gave it. That is how God describes the difficult days of old age, the days of feebleness and trouble, the last stage of life, of human mortal life, men and women sinking under the infirmities of their bodies, their life that is disintegrating and falling apart. Their very strength, Psalm 90 verse 10 says, is labor and sorrow. One man said, I used to think that a slight illness was a luxurious thing. It is different in the latter stages of life. The old body gets more shattered at every turn. Windows will not pull up. Doors refuse to open, or being opened will not shut again. There's some new subject of complaint every moment. Your sicknesses come thicker and thicker. The recollection of youth, health, and uninterrupted power of activity, neither improved nor enjoyed, is a poor stream of comfort. Death has closed the long, dark avenue upon loves and friendships. And I look at them as though, as through the grated door of a burial place, filled with monuments of those who were once dear to me, with no insincere wish that it may open for me at no distant period, provided such be the will of God. That's what Sir Scott wrote as he lay dying in his last hours. Can you provide for those difficult days of old age too soon or too much? The last days of difficult life can come upon you so suddenly and so quickly, even without warning. It is time now to begin the service of God. When we have power and strength and energy still to serve Him. When you hardly have power to take care of yourself in the days of old age before you die, is not the time to begin serving God. Give your heart to the Lord now. Let your heart glow with that first love for your Savior, Jesus Christ. Let it burn with the freshness and the dew of the morning. Give your heart to the Lord who claims it with the purchase of His own blood as inalienable property, as His, as an acceptable sacrifice for His great gift of salvation. God loves not only one who gives cheerfully, but one who gives himself early to the Lord. He gives himself as a living sacrifice. God has given himself to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And we ought to gladly and willingly give our lives and our service and our all to Him. Remember your Creator in the best days, in the days of your youth. Many have remembered their Creator too late. The Lord in this passage speaks of the difficulties and the infirmities of old age. We must not forget that there is often in old age a season of cheerful serenity, of cheerful peace and quietness. As our physical energy diminishes, we may have quiet and lasting happiness and peace. The silver cord sometimes is loosed so gently and so gradually that we do not even notice it. But more or less of these infirmities is felt in the ordinary course of human life. And the wise man prepares for all of these things that the Bible describes, rather than for those exceptional cases where we so easily come to the end of our days without such difficulty. But above all of these things, we should cultivate that love for the Lord and that friendship with God. We should pray that the Lord will prepare us, even now, with the comforts and joys of knowing and serving Him for those days when we grow old. For then our confidence will not be disappointed. But we will be able to say with the psalmist in Psalm 77, verses 17 and 18, O God, You have taught me from my youth. And hitherto have I declared Your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me. That promise of God not to forsake us, even in old age, is the sure ground or basis of our confidence. It is the unfailing answer to our prayer. As the prophet Isaiah writes in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 3 and 4, Even to your old age I am He, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. What was the good old age of Abraham and of Simeon in the New Testament? And so many other saints of God recorded for us in Scripture. It was the sun, the light, breaking through the dark clouds, giving them entrance into eternal rest in heaven. We can have that same blessing as they had. When one sight after another fades from your darkened eyes, when one sound after another fades from your dull ears, look more and more to Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is your joy, if He is your hope, if He is your life now, faster that you are clothed with the snows of old age, the sooner you will renew your youth in heaven, in the presence of God, in immortality. As one great dying Christian man observed, the golden chain that binds the believer's heart to heaven is growing stronger. Its links are growing more firm and more massive. And all the powers of hell will not prevail to break them. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word that tells us before we get old what it will be like in our old age. And that warns us now in our youth to remember our Creator, to serve You, the true and living God. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You will open our eyes to see the deceitfulness and the foolishness and the falsehood of the idea that we so frequently entertain, that there's so much in this life that's so grand and so wonderful, that we can fill our lives with all of these experiences and pleasures, and that will give us lasting comfort and joy, when it will not. Father, we pray that You will teach us that the only lasting comfort and joy that we can have, whether we be young or old, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that by Your blessing and by Your grace and by the mighty work of Your Holy Spirit, we may have that comfort now. we may cultivate that fellowship and communion with You, that friendship and that love for You that will last not only to the days of old age, but all through eternity. Heavenly Father, we pray that You will be our portion and that You will wean us from all the things of this world and this life, that You will cause that golden chain that binds our heart to You to grow stronger and stronger and firmer and more massive, that it might never be broken. Bless us, Father, with Your Spirit's work and with faith to believe Your holy word. And Father, we also pray that You will bless us as we bring our gifts to You tonight, that You will use those gifts that we bring for the greater honor and glory of Jesus Christ, that the gospel of Your truth may be proclaimed to the ends of the earth, that others might be brought to salvation and to have the comfort, the only comfort, in life and in death, that we are not our own, but we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood has fully satisfied for all our sins and redeems us from all the power of the devil, so that not a hair can fall from our head without Your knowing it. Yes, that all things must work together for our salvation. Father, assure us of these things by Your Spirit, and make us willing from our heart to live for Jesus Christ and Him alone. In His name we pray. Amen.